If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Tynan's Direct has done it again. This month only, get ready for an offer you can't resist. Buy a natural diamond engagement ring of 1 carat plus and receive a free natural 1 carat diamond tennis bracelet valued at $2,000. That's right, a stunning diamond tennis bracelet at no extra cost. Imagine giving her the ring of her dreams and her wedding gift all at once. So hurry into Diamonds Direct. Your chance to get a free tennis bracelet will not last long. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Have you ever wondered what it would be like to have supervision, enhanced hearing, extraordinary reflexes, to be, dare we say, superhuman? Well, Roku's new Pro Series TV can't do any of that for you. But with a 4K screen, side-firing speakers, and a blazing fast refresh rate, it'll sure feel like it. Elevate your entertainment using all your favorite apps like iHeart and play all your music, radio, and podcasts with the new Roku Pro Series. Your senses aren't better. Your TV is.
If there's something I need I don't already have, I know I'll get it from a good friend. If there's something I need I don't already have, I know I'll get it from a good friend. If there's something
I need. Hi, everybody. It's Jamie Lee Curtis, and you're listening to the Good Friend Podcast, presented to you by iHeartRadio. It's a podcast about friendship. We talk about everything. We cry, we laugh. We think about what it really means to be a good friend. And I have conversations with some of my best friends, some people I've never met, and sort of everything in between. So I hope by the end of it that you have a really good sense of what friendship means to me and the people that I consider friends. And I hope you can take those same ideas into your own friendship groups. And I hope you enjoy it.
The podcast, you have to wear a beret, you know. That's what I heard. I did. Is that not true? Because I'm a little embarrassed if that's not true, because that's what everyone told me.
Okay. Well, for my listener, for my uninitiated listener, my guest today is wearing a beret on her birthday. Her name is Jennifer Gray, and she is a good friend of mine and a good friend to you. And I'm happy to welcome you here to the Good Friend Podcast, Miss Birthday Girl.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
And you are the only person wearing a beret. We will accept you as you are in this moment where you are.
That's what friends do.
Well, it is what friends do. It is what friends should do.
Mm-hmm. It should be come as you are.
Is it that way with you, with your friends, or is it conditional?
I think that the more we can accept each other exactly as we are, the deeper the love and the more chance of longevity and true connection.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's interesting because you are someone who I know very well, who we have gotten closer and closer and closer now over the years. But what's interesting to me is you also have like a best friend. Your friend Tracy always loomed very large to me in our relationship, and just in an example of a ride or die friend. Can you just talk a little bit about her and how you guys met and where you met and, you know, kind of like the machinations of that friendship?
Tracy Pollan and I met when we were 15, and we met at Dalton, where I was a new student and I didn't know anybody, and it was a remedial math class, and it was a bunch of math fits because we were not mathletes. We were special, had special math needs. And there were many of us crammed in this room that smelled a lot like BO, much too small, too many adolescents. And we couldn't talk because we were in this tiny room around this table. And the fumes were intense and the ideas were beyond my ken. So I basically would just like, look at this cool girl. And then we met at a party again, because I didn't have any classes with her. We met at a party in East Hampton when it was like John Kennedy, that crowd, you know, he went to collegiate and all the collegiate boys were like the cool, sexy boys. And we were the Dalton girls, and the Dalton girls were kind of like considered to be like the cool girls. And or so we thought. I wasn't one of them because I was brand new from Malibu. And I was a little too much hippie Malibu beach chick. And I hadn't quite gotten to the groovy Upper East Side, New York, high-powered families. So I felt very much like a fish out of water. And I went to East Hampton to this party. And it was one of those weekends where come out to East Hampton for the weekend. And everybody at this house, it was one of those old, like those old money East Hampton houses, and there were no adults anywhere. It was just all of a sudden the whole house was writhing with these bodies making out, listening to the Isley Brothers, The Heat Is On, Sensuality. And it was just like every chair, every surface was covered with this kind of like Escher drawings of bodies just jigsawed into each other. And I cannot believe that I am the only one not paired up. I'm wandering around this big house and just pot smoke, and probably the cool kids were doing coke upstairs somewhere. I didn't really know many people in this group. It was kind of new. And I knew I was spending the weekend there, but I didn't understand where I'd sleep with all these kids everywhere. And it just felt so strange to be singled out as the only like man left standing. It was like musical chairs, and I was just the only one. And then I saw the silhouette in the doorway of this person. I guessed it was a girl, and then I got closer, and I saw it was Tracy. And there she was. She and I looked at each other, and we only knew each other from the remedial math class. And I saw her, and I knew for a fact she was one of the prettiest girls in the school. Like, she was gorgeous and cool and smart and sweet and funny from what I could tell, the little bit I could tell. And I thought, how is it? She and I sat on the porch and like, we must be the biggest losers in the world. How is it that everybody is paired up but us? What is wrong with us? How can this be? And so we bonded that night as the two people who were left with nobody even trying to make out with us. And that's when we became friends. And I realized, you know what? No one's coming after her. And she's definitely like beautiful and cool and great and sexy and all those things. Then maybe I'm not so bad either. And then I realized she was super funny and that she wanted to be an actress too. And we started having sleepovers and doing her homework together. You know, she'd always tease me that I would have so ADD that she'd be like, we have to study. And I'd be like, I know. But how about blah, blah, blah? And that's basically still our relationship. And now we're well into our other chapters of our life. And, you know, she's like my sister. I never had a sister. And the idea of this person that exists in the world, that no matter what's happening, especially if things are particularly rough, particularly rocky, particularly rough seas, she's who I call, and she just drops everything and she gets into action and listens, whether it's like a medical issue, because we're both pretend doctors.
I know, we're going to discuss that.
Yeah, we can hang a shingle, she and I, as the two people who, like, I barely graduated high school, but I swear to God, I'm a medical intuitive. But I get it. Like, she and I could have a practice together.
I have, obviously, I know a bit of that story, and I know how bonded you two became. I didn't actually know the origin story, which is fascinating to me. How old were you guys at that point, by the way?
14.
Okay. Just even the, I'm going to a party in the, you know, Hamptons, I'm going to spend the night there for the weekend. That idea of the sort of that freedom at that age was not what I experienced at all. And which is fine. It's just a comparison, which is interesting to me. So when you bond with somebody and you have that close of a friendship that early in your life, and it's that formative and helpful and close, when you moved out to California, she didn't move out to California, correct?
Mm-hmm. Well, I moved back and forth for many years. And she moved out here when she married Michael J. Fox. He was living here. He was doing Family Ties here. And they met out here. I mean, they ended up having their life here. And I was back in New York, I think. It was very back and forth. We all have been extremely bi-coastal for, I mean, my whole childhood and her adulthood. She has spent more time, much more time in New York. But I'll let her speak for herself. But basically, she had a period of time when she was West Coast.
Okay. But there was a period where you, where she was there and you were here? Or yes? I'm trying to get a sense.
I mean, she's been there for years now, and I've been here for years now. So we have been separated by the country for many, many years.
Since you and I have been closer friends.
Yes, correct.
Right. So it's always been so interesting to me because you have kept that relationship through a long bit of distance. As you said, you've been separated by the country. She obviously is married with children.
She has four children, and her fourth child, we were pregnant at the same time with her fourth and my first.
That must have been lovely. Talk to me about that for a minute.
Well, she didn't want to tell me she was pregnant because first, if it was early, so it was in that stage when no one's telling anyone. And she didn't want to tell me because she was so worried about my reaction because it was her fourth and I was so desperate to have one. And so when she called me to tell me she was pregnant, I said, well, so am I. And I'm not telling anyone. And she was like, what? I was so scared to tell you. I think it was her telling me first and then me telling her. And our babies were born a month apart to the day. And so we were pregnant together. We were on the vineyard and vacations in the summer pregnant. Then we were nursing our babies together. You know, we have all these pictures of us doing all of these things. And we'd call each other like, oh, is she sitting up? What's she doing? You know, it had that whole amazing shared. It was my first time in her. Obviously, she was extremely adept at being a mother at that point.
Yeah, but you know, and obviously this is a show about good friendship and people's experiences. That was not my experience. I didn't naturally have that with people. I ended up meeting people with children, my children's age. And of course, our families became very close as those kids got closer. And I too had a relationship with those people, but just, I'm sitting here kind of as your friend with this sort of beatific smile on my face. And I'm imagining you wanting to be able to, you know, be pregnant and have a child. And there you are with your best friend, even though you're on opposite coasts, both going through it at the same time, is a beautiful shared experience.
You know, what was the craziest thing? When I just mentioning that is that they just saw me just beside myself, like I'll never meet somebody and I'll never have a baby. And I remember them saying to me, like, if you want, you know, we'll help you. You can have a baby and we'll help you. And you can have a baby by yourself and we'll help you. And I was like, how? Like, they just weren't going to let me not have that dream. I just remember them saying, don't worry, we'll help you make this happen. And I just thought, like, Michael became like a brother to me, you know, because she was like my sister. And I just got this amazing man in the deal as well, because I'm such a girl's girl. But to have my best girlfriend have such an extraordinary husband has been such a boon for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've heard you speak of Michael in that way. And it has been brotherly, brotherly love, certainly.
He's just such a deeply caring, deep human being. I don't deep, I keep saying the word deep, but it's just like, it's profound when you have this abundance of connections to people who are, and when I say extraordinary humans, I'm not talking about even anything to do with outside accomplishments, you know, aside from the fact, you know, he's a genius and a writer and all, whatever those things are. It's so much more about having access to people who have a perspective and a history with you. They know where you've come from. They know your wounds, and they know what it is you need. And time can pass, and it's like no time has passed. It's that elasticity of time where you can really drop deep right away.
There's this little sound bite. Thank you. Elasticity. I love that.
If there's something I need, I don't already have. I know I'll get it from a good friend. If there's something
we'll be right back with more Good Friend after this quick break, so stick around.
Thinking of popping the question? Diamonds Direct has an offer you can't miss. This month only, buy a natural diamond engagement ring of 1 carat plus and receive a free natural 1 carat diamond tennis bracelet valued at $2,000. Imagine giving her the ring of her dreams and her wedding gift all at once. No one provides education, selection, and value like Diamonds Direct. Your chance to get a free tennis bracelet from your friends at Diamonds Direct won't last long. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Michael Mosley, and I want to let you know about my new immersive BBC Radio 4 podcast series, Deep Calm. It's all about how to tap into and activate a remarkable system that we all have hardwired inside of us, our relaxation response. And it's been developed to be listened to at any time you want to really unwind. I hope you'll listen wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
What are you looking for in a new smart TV? 4K picture quality? High quality and immersive sound? A sleek design? All of those are givens, but only the new Roku Pro Series has all of those and the Roku streaming experience and award-winning OS. Get fast, easy access to all your apps like iHeart, where you can stream all your favorite music, radio, and podcasts all day. And regular all-inclusive trips to Roku City. The new Roku Pro Series. A smart TV built by the streaming pros.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code. A lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant. AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Okay, I want to talk to you, Dr. Gray.
Yes, ma'am.
We need to talk about Dr. Gray. For my listener, for my uninitiated listener to this podcast, I pride myself on being fairly hooked up. I'm one of those people. Pride.
Oh, excuse me. Let me interrupt you just
one. No, you may not. It's my podcast.
But let me just tell you, whatever she's saying, she's downplaying it. Because
So I pride myself. And we all know that sometimes we get lost in our pride. We get prideful about what we can manifest and do, and it gets a little lost because you go, really, you're not really all that. Mm-hmm. But I have pride of it, and I'm someone who's reliable and, you know, good in an emergency, and usually can click into a certain mode
totally
of thought and I can apply good common sense thought to things. But my friend Jennifer is a doctor. My friend Jennifer has such a wide knowledge and awareness and connections to every aspect of medical care that you could imagine. And I'm fascinated by where that began. You know, you're not a doctor. As you said, you barely got out of high school. How did you become Dr. Gray?
First of all, I agree with you. And second of all, I have an incredible and voracious appetite and curiosity. I like puzzles, and I like to figure out if there's a problem or there's suffering happening. I like to have some agency and be able to mitigate suffering for myself, my friends, my family, a stranger. I don't really care, but I feel like if there is something to be discovered and ameliorated, I am like a truffle pig. I just want to get that truffle. And I almost can't rest until I get some kind of satisfaction. And because I like a puzzle, I like a game, and because the stakes are high to me if someone's suffering, and I believe that I wouldn't be the doctor I am today without Google. But I definitely got some kind of doctorate at Google U. But I have a very strong intuitive sense of what words to search. And then I scan and I look around and I keep adding words to the search until I can feel like I'm getting like cherry, cherry, cherry. You know, I'm just kind of just like pulling the slots. I'm just doing this thing. And then I get this feeling inside of I want to help other people and I want to help myself. And I have had so many physical issues, especially in the past 10 years. And I've discovered even emotional, psychological, neurological, like anything in those realms, I'm infinitely fascinated by what's happening in the most cutting edge science of any of these issues, because I'm thrilled by and excited by gaining some kind of understanding and being able to move the needle. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course. It's one of the greatest friend gifts that you give. You know, we each try to show up with what are our, you know, I would also, just because I'm going to say it, when we first started meeting each other through our other friends, honestly, every time I saw you, I would look at you and run my finger in the air from top to toe with this sort of look of like, oh, please, really? This is what you've put together today, because you have insane taste. You have that gift of sight.
I think you and I have similar tastes because everyone's taste is so subjective. I think ours are in alignment.
No, excuse me. You just shush. It's my show. You just sit there. I'm telling you that I would look at you and I'd be like, really? Silver Birkenstocks? Really? You're wearing silver Birkenstocks with white jeans. I'm going to...
Probably silver clogs at the time.
They might have been silver clogs. I was going to lose my mind is what I remember, because that was always an area that I struggled with. And you seemed to, without even any extra thought at all, just had that beautiful ability. But really the gift, besides the joy of the friendship, is the leaning in that you do when there is an issue, particularly a medical issue. You get very quiet. It's you say you have ADD, but it, in a weird way.
Well, that's the age part. That's the age part. It's the hyperfocus.
Right. That ability to hyperly focus on something and laser beam into it is, I think, a really strong aspect of you as a friend. And I've been on the receiving end of it. I've watched you navigate it. It's impressive. And do you know where it began?
Well, I will tell you that my mom's dad and my mom's mom both had come over from Ukraine as children and didn't speak the language. And they both met in pharmacist school. And they were very unusual for a woman to be in pharmacist school in the, I guess it was the 30s, very long time ago. And they were, I think my grandfather opened a pharmacy in Brownsville, Brooklyn, which was not the Brooklyn we know now. It's the it was very different, all immigrants and Jews. And he what became the, like, it's what urgent care is today. Very similar. He was the neighborhood doctor, and it was the place everyone hung out. And my mom was the daughter of the pharmacist. And so she grew up, you know, helping her dad, and her mom became the woman owner, but she wasn't the owner. She was like, she kind of faded away, but it was all about helping people. And it was a way for, I guess, immigrants without any money and new to the country could become doctors in a sense. Mm-hmm. And so their incredible drive and brains to be able to do that, coming from whence they came, it was insane. And it also became a very social place, and it became very political and very, it was like a very strong, almost like the artery of the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And so when I was growing up, there was always that sense of, I don't know, I think maybe it's that comes from like wanting to a Jewish doctor, like this, like that idolatry in Jewish culture of the doctor. But the idea, I'm not playing God, but it's being able to help somebody else in any kind of way. But especially, it's so practical, like you can't ignore if you've helped somebody in that respect. The idea of, I think it comes from the solitary and lonely experience of being sick or being in pain, and the loneliness of feeling like nobody has had thyroid cancer, that I know, or nobody's had 6 spinal surgeries like I have, that I know. Nobody's had their spinal cord untethered and all of these fusions and all the stuff that I've gone through, that you watch me go through all of those. It's a very lonely feeling to feel like no one knows how to help you.
Sure.
And I hate asking for help. So I think it also comes from wanting to help myself, educate myself, and take the fear away, and kind of be able to have more a sense of control, even if it's just an illusion.
Yeah, but having knowledge, having a mind that is facile enough to be able to listen to something, look at the puzzle, start to understand what's going on is a way of controlling it, but it's also a way of understanding it and advocating for yourself. Honestly, you're not helpless. You have a mind.
And it helps my mind to have some kind of understanding of the terrain, because every time there's a health issue, whether it's a friend or my family or me or my dog or anything, it's very, it creates a lot of fear. And especially if there's pain involved or confusion. And I like to do, like, it's the wisdom to know the difference. I want to be able to change the things I can. And so I do as much as I can with my, you know, Google and my intuition and my just obsession with because my obsession comes from like being thrilled by understanding any of these pieces. Mm-hmm. I'm thrilled to just like, and then there's just so many new things to learn about, you know, and everything's always changing. There's always new studies, and it's just fascinating to me that we don't have to accept what we used to accept as there's nothing to do. I just like having something to do.
Well, and as it relates to friendship, I will tell you, there are many people who I will talk to. I mean, let's just even bring up the most recent example of this, which is you recently started working with, you have an older dog and a new puppy, and because of COVID and these bigger clinics, it's much more challenging to take a dog in if you have more than one and one has to be in the car.
I had to sit in the parking lot for every single one of my dog appointments in the past year and a half. I couldn't even go in.
I know. And then you sit in the car and you wait for the call, which is, by the way, them shape-shifting and figuring out a way to safely administer veterinary care to pets and the families with safety and protocols in place and all the rest of it. It's beautiful. But you found a mobile vet. And that mobile vet came to you and then administered the care, the veterinary care and medicine. And it was an old-fashioned idea. It's like the, you know, country doctor, you know, house calls. I mean, now if somebody gets a house call, you're like, oh, are you Beyonce? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's only for the elite and it's only for the rich. And that wasn't what house calls, it was just what doctors did. They didn't make you come to them. If the child was sick, they came to your house. And you, I didn't think I needed to have a mobile vet come. And yet there was an issue and I couldn't. It was a Friday and I couldn't think. And you gave me this contact. And, you know, within 10 hours, that person was at our home helping with the dog in that moment. And it was such an example. You don't proselytize, you don't kind of carry on about it. You offer the opportunity, you offer the opinion based on your own experience, and you're happy to pass on a reference. It's such a generosity of friendship. And there's not a person I know that doesn't call you first, because someone will say, oh, I spoke to Jennifer. And she said this or that. And you're not a doctor, and nobody is saying you're a doctor. And yet you have a really beautiful way of sharing that in friendship. And it's something that I'm better for. And I know I'm not the only one. When Tracy was in New York and you were out here and, you know, young motherhood, I know because I live near where you used to live, which has to do with the community of your school. Mm-hmm. Like you got very involved in that world. Is that how, I guess what I'm looking for to explore with you is friendships. Like
friendships later in life that didn't start.
Yeah, that weren't.
Like if I'd gone to college, I'd have college friends for the rest of my life. But since I didn't, I'm stuck with my high school friends for the rest of my life because
You're stuck with your high school friends or your work friends.
Because the thing is that kind of being forced into the same, in the same community where you're forced to be so dependent and intimate with everybody for a long term creates a different kind of depth of connection and almost sisterhood. I guess that's why people love their sorority sisters and blah, 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 right? So since I didn't have that, I met people on movies. I've met people at school with my daughter's school because you had to do those early play dates together and the mommy and me's and stuff like that. And the truth is that, and then when you get married, you've got your husband's friends and you've got, you know, you inherit friends. And I feel like I've made some really good friends through my daughter's school. And I have made some really good friends through work. But there's something about our group. And when I say our, I mean you and me, Jamie. Mm-hmm. Our group, because we were forced together regularly for many years to let people, let each other know the good, the bad, and the ugly in a within a container that creates an intimacy and a continuity that is extremely hard to get as an adult, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Once you have a family, have your kids, once you have this other life where you're really not living around, your life isn't around a village fire. And that village fire that comes from living in a community where you're really dependent, grow dependent, and the depth of being privy to people's highs and lows, as opposed to not reaching out when things are hard, or only hearing about, reading about things when things are great. There's just something about the continuity of checking in on each other. Mm-hmm. Because we're pack animals. We're not meant to be isolated as we have been this year. It's very different. We are not meant to be solitary creatures, even though I love my alone time probably more than anyone I know, maybe next to you. And sometimes people just bug me. But the truth is, I really need to be loving others, loved back, cared for, and caring for others. And to me, that's friendship. If there's something I need, I don't already
have. We'll be right back with more Good Friend after this quick break.
Thinking of popping the question? Diamonds Direct has an offer you can't miss. This month only, buy a natural diamond engagement ring of 1 carat plus and receive a free natural 1 carat diamond tennis bracelet valued at $2,000. Imagine giving her the ring of her dreams and her wedding gift all at once. No one provides education, selection, and value like Diamonds Direct. Your chance to get a free tennis bracelet from your friends at Diamonds Direct won't last long. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
That world has eaten up and spit out a lot of young and attractive guys.
This is the story of one of fashion's dark secrets.
I was overwhelmed. Like, I had never seen anything like this.
At the height of Abercrombie and Fitch's success.
This was me being carefully manipulated.
Being lied to, tricked, and traded like a commodity.
Investigating allegations that would take me into a world of money, sex, and power. This is World of Secrets, Season 1, The Abercrombie Guys.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, iHeart listener. We have a confession to make. Both iHeart and this commercial you're listening to right now would probably sound a heck of a lot better on the new Roku Pro Series TV. It's got side-firing speakers that fill your room with sound, Dolby Atmos audio that puts you right in the middle of the entertainment, and the ability to pair seamlessly with your home theater sound systems that already have surround sound and booming bass. If all that sounds too good to be true, it'll sound even better on the new Roku Pro Series. Your hearing isn't better. Your TV is.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance. Helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
We have a friend group. It's big and wide. It's varied ages of people, varied ages of experiences. And for me, you have leaned in during some of the hardest days of my life.
Really?
And yeah. It was your birthday. I went searching for a certain picture of you that I had files of pictures from when you were on Dancing with the Stars. And I remember it was when we were all just falling in love with Hipstamatic and all of the filtering that we were doing. And I had taken a photograph of you in the bathroom at Dancing with the Stars during a minute break. And what my uninitiated listener doesn't know is that Jennifer and I were at that point good friends. We both loved each other. We had both shared some stuff. But when she decided to do that competition, that show, I remember saying to you, I think you said to me, would you like to come to the first one when I can invite a guest? And I remember saying, yes, I was thrilled. I was so excited. And I remember after the first one, I looked at you and said, I will be here every single week. I promise you, I will sit here every single week. And, you know, I still had two kids and I wasn't working at the time, but I had two kids and I did live on the other side of town, mm-hmm. and it wasn't, quote, convenient. It wasn't mm-hmm. like it was around the corner, mm-hmm. but I was so impressed with your bravery that you were going to put it out there in the way that you have to in a show like that, mm-hmm. which is, if you've never watched a season from the beginning to the end, it's physically ridiculous what mm-hmm. these people go through. It's emotionally ridiculous what you go through. And the combination of it all was powerful for me as your friend. And I felt like, and I got to move into into a closer circle with you. Mm-hmm. And I remember it took me saying, you know, I will be here every week if you'll have me. And you saying, yes, please. And then the lovely time we spent around it mm-hmm. really, I think, was the thing that made us lean into each other more and more. Is that how you would think or characterize it?
Obviously, I was on the other end of that story. I was having, what I remembered as soon as we started talking about that was when I was trying to decide whether or not to do it, and I had such hideous stage fright, such incapacitating stage fright. And I also had had a terrible accident years before and had real problems with my neck. And I just had two spinal surgeries and two thyroid cancer surgeries a few months before. And so when I was doing this, I was really doing it against everything in my, you know how they say your ego is not your amigo? I was doing everything. That's right. You heard me. Your ego is not. My ego is not my amigo. So my ego was saying I would rather die than put myself in this position and put myself out there, especially because I have learning issues with how I learn things. And it's very hard for me to learn dance steps. And nobody believes it, but it's true. And you can ask anyone I've ever danced with that it's a nightmare to survive anything like that with me, because I have special needs around it, but I didn't know. I just had shame around it. And so I was doing it just for my daughter's benefit, because I was trying to model for her to do something because I loved it and not care what other people thought and not care if I failed. And since she was trying to teach her that, I didn't want to be a hypocrite. And I remember our friend Alexandra saying to me, I think you should do it. And I was like, what? And I think she's, you know, got the greatest taste and eye in the world. And I was like, if she thinks I should, really? And she might have even had a dream about it or something. And so finally decided to do it, I had enormous terror. I mean, extreme terror, not anxious, not nervous, like paralyzing terror. And I remember going to the first night when you do, before you start the show, you go and you do a big press event where they introduce the new people who will be competing in that season. And I had to do the dog. I got to, as you would say, I got to do the dog and pony show. And I went and did it. And I came back home and I was going to go to sleep to go my first day of rehearsal the next day. And I called you. I remember my husband in the bed in here. I went into the living room and I called you and I couldn't stop crying. And I said, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I cannot. I have to get out of it. I have to get out of it. And the hysteria that you were able to hold, you were able to contain this hysteria, having been such a veteran in the business and understand my emotional, the complexities of my wounds and the what I've gone through in my life. You knew so much about that landscape that you could listen to me and calm me down with that amazing voice that you can have when I'm in that state of just listening and reassuring me. And I don't even remember what you said, but I was able to calm down, go to sleep, and start. And then I remember the terrible anxiety before every show and you being there and in the dressing room and us being so goofy and Alexandra and Anne and all of our friends, you know, just rallying around me. It's that alone feeling of like, I'm alone with my terror. I'm alone with my pain. I'm alone with nobody feels like I do. And just having people witness you and cheer for you is, to me, one of the greatest things. It's the only thing I really care about at this point in my life, I feel like.
As you said, it was the bearing witness, the holding you emotionally and
Sometimes physically when I was literally like sobbing.
And sometimes physically, yes. And witnessing it. And, you know, we didn't know week in, week out what was going to happen. It wasn't, you know, for the listener that it's not predetermined. There are a lot of factors, you know. It was gnarly.
So much gnarlier than anybody has any idea unless you've gone through it. And they all call me after, before and after, and they're like, should I do it? I'm like, oh, let me tell you something.
It's gnarly.
It's gnarly. And it's one of the greatest things you'll ever experience. And it's not for the faint of heart.
Yeah. Well, what it you not only modeled it, here's the deal. We don't know what we model, what we don't. We just don't know. We're not doing it as I'm here, I am modeling this so other women will, you know, you modeled something. Maybe you were doing it in your own mind as a way to say, I am a mother of a daughter. I am going to face a fear. I'm going to suit up and show up and do this work that terrifies me and challenge myself with struggles.
And my age and the fact that I hadn't danced for 20 years at all.
And things broke in your body during it. And, you know, you had neck surgery.
I had a fusion, a neck fusion and another neck surgery, two thyroid cancer surgeries. I do the show and then I rupture my lower back the second to last night and then have to have my lower back fused. And then eventually had to have my spinal cord untethered. And like, it's just, it's ridiculous.
But what I was saying about it is really this. You not only modeled it for your daughter, you modeled it for me. You let me in. And so again, to the listener, that's the goal here. Is we want to be let in. Let me in, you know, let me into your life. Let me into it. And I didn't have that history with you. We weren't going to go to the Hamptons together. I'm not sure I would have gone with you to the Hamptons at 14. I think I would have been like, my mom will be mad. I was such a good girl, such a mom, you know, like rule follower. And so what it allowed us was a way in that has remained now and now has made it a really important, crucial relationship and a crucial friendship in my good friendship. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't love you more. And I'm so happy that my listener was able to bear witness and listen to you talk about your life, our friendship, because you are an essential good friend, and I love you. And thank you for being on the Good Friend podcast. I hope it was gentle.
You know, it's always such a delicious feeling to soak in being seen and known and to know another and to have a shorthand and to have history, and or even with new people to be able to recognize that we are not alone and we are all alone. And yet this is the only moment when I actually, when I'm thinking about you or what's going on with you, I am freed from the bondage of self and I get to be fully attentive because I care so much and because I want everybody to be able to have that feeling of relief, because we're all needing that relief and to feel connected to another. And so thank you for doing that for me.
And I hope the listener walks away with that good feeling, and then they reach out to somebody else that they know. And, you know, again, this maybe models for them something, and it'll continue to grow, because that's the whole idea here. I love you, Jennifer Gray. Thank you for being on the Good Friend podcast, and I love you. Good Friend is produced by Dylan Fagan and is a production of iHeartRadio. Our theme song, Good Friend, is written, produced, and performed by Emily King.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Have you ever wondered what it would be like to have supervision, enhanced hearing, extraordinary reflexes, to be, dare we say, superhuman? Well, Roku's new Pro Series TV can't do any of that for you. But with a 4K screen, side-firing speakers, and a blazing fast refresh rate, it'll sure feel like it. Elevate your entertainment using all your favorite apps like iHeart and play all your music, radio, and podcasts with the new Roku Pro Series. Your senses aren't better. Your TV is.
That world has eaten up and spit out a lot of young and attractive guys.
This is the story of one of fashion's dark secrets.
I was overwhelmed. Like, I had never seen anything like this.
At the height of Abercrombie & Fitch's success.
This was me being carefully manipulated.
Being lied to, tricked, and traded like a commodity.
Investigating allegations that would take me into a world of money, sex, and power. This is World of Secrets, Season 1, The Abercrombie Guys.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
Diamonds Direct has done it again. This month only, get ready for an offer you can't resist. Buy a natural diamond engagement ring of 1 carat plus and receive a free natural 1 carat diamond tennis bracelet valued at $2,000. That's right, a stunning diamond tennis bracelet at no extra cost. Imagine giving her the ring of her dreams and her wedding gift all at once. So hurry into Diamonds Direct. Your chance to get a free tennis bracelet will not last long. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.